Proverbs chapter 31 tonight. It's been a couple weeks where we left off. We'll need to pick it back up. Proverbs 31. Now, again, I'll try to, because of time, not go over too much of the past. If we have to say a couple things, it'll be necessary. But I'll try to avoid going through material that we've already looked at. Sometimes it's good to review. In Proverbs chapter 31, we're talking about the virtuous woman mentioned in verse number 10. And also notice the question mark, who can find a virtuous woman? And so in the Bible that you have open before you is a mirror of what a virtuous woman is. It is the picture of a virtuous woman. And when I began the lessons, I began to tell you that what we were going to do is paint a portrait, paint a large life-size picture of this woman that God has defined as a virtuous woman. And obviously, in the age that we live in, it's very difficult to find one. But here is the definition. If we're going to land on a virtuous woman, we're going to find one, this is the qualities that she'll have. And so if you're a young man, this is what you're looking for. If you're a young lady, this is what you want to be. If you're a mother, this is what you want to train your daughters to be. If you're a mother of a son, this is what you want to train your son to look for. The things that he ought to want. The things that God has shown to be the qualities that are desirable. We notice when we go through this proverb that this is not somebody that is all decked out with all of the Revlon and Mary Kay and all of the hair colors and the hairdos and all the fashions of the world. This is not a portrait, as we look at that, of a picture who just is on the outside, adorned with the outward adorning. But this is a picture of somebody whose character and whose life is really becoming in the sight of God. Amen? And so, in Proverbs chapter 31, in verse number 14, we'll start there. She is like the merchant ship. She bringeth her food from afar. She riseth also while it is yet night, and giveth meat to her household, and a portion to her maidens. She considereth a field, and buyeth it. Now, she is not a real estate agent. All right, that's not what this is saying. Not a real estate agent. With the fruit of her hand, she planteth a vineyard. She girdeth her loins with strength, and strengtheneth her arms. Now, that's the verse that we'll pick up tonight, verse number 17. We've looked at all the previous verses. Notice with me just real quickly now, in verse number 13, it says, she worketh willingly with her hands. She doesn't have to be coerced to work. In verse number 16, she considereth the field by it, with the fruit of her hands, she planteth a vineyard. In verse number 17, it says, and strengtheneth her arms. Verse number 19, she layeth her hands to the spindle, and her hands holdeth the distaff. She stretcheth out her hand to the poor. Yea, she reacheth forth her hands to the needy. And so there's a picture of this woman's hands. And when you look at verse number 17, it talks about girding her loins with strength and strengthening her arms. Let me say to you, she's not a Russian weightlifter. Okay? She's not one of the glorious ladies of wrestling, glow. Exactly the opposite of what they really are. This is not, but let me say, while this is not a gladiator woman, and this is not the Russian weightlifter, let me say that this woman is strong. That this woman is healthy and strong. And you know, we have this society of ours. When I say we, I have to be careful. When we look at the society today and we look at what society says is the kind of woman you want, I mean, Twiggy isn't going to get the job done. Amen? Amen? If you want to marry Twiggy, you ain't going to expect a whole lot of work out of her. Now, I realize what's been painted out there and what has been depicted as the woman of your dreams. It's not the woman that God would have for you. God wants you to have a woman that's willing to work. I better not say that. I'd be jumping to a conclusion, and I get in a lot of trouble when I start doing that kind of stuff. But it's hard to find a woman who will work. It's hard to find one. They're doing what men are doing, trying to get out of everything that they can. It just stands to reason that if we're going to work 4 days and have three off, we want to do less. That we want a setup that we can do less and less and less and less and less. There is nobody who tries to avoid or get out of work that will ever have a what we call meaningful life. There is no pleasure in laziness. None whatsoever. I know that it is within our natures to do everything we can to get out of work. Now don't look at me funny now, because while you may hold down a job and work your 40 hours a week, let me ask you what you've been doing for God. Let me ask you how many times you've turned your head or walked away from an opportunity to serve the Lord. And we find ourselves doing the thing that comes easy. I'm guilty. I'll be honest tonight. I found ways of getting out of some things that it's just too much work involved, and so I'd get out of it. And you can finagle things in your schedule and work ways of getting out of some things or finding ways to loaf on the job. Everybody's done that. Aren't you glad you're here tonight? Glory, hallelujah. You're here, and you're going to hear it because you're here. Amen. You get up now, or you're going to get real embarrassed, all right, because it's the wrong time to leave. She's a healthy woman, and she's a healthy woman. And why would she be a healthy woman? How could we ever get to come to that conclusion? Because she works. She's girded her loins with strength, and the loins are the beefy parts of your body. That's discreet, isn't it? The loins are the part of your body that really most of the work comes from. The hands happen to be a part of the extremity, but the loins are the ones that kind of get it in gear. I mean, we talk about people getting in gear. We talk about their posterior getting in gear. If you don't ever get your posterior in gear, there ain't nothing else going to get in gear. Isn't that right? Your hands aren't ever going to get in gear if your posterior never gets to the place where your hands can get involved and get in the work. They tell you when you lift up something heavy, okay? When you lift up something heavy, you don't just lift it up with your hands, but you lift it up with your loins. And see, that's the idea. And so she strengthens her loins. Now, she's not a bodybuilder. Okay, that's not her calling either. She's not a physique champion or a bodybuilder. That's not what she's doing. There's a lot of work in that. There's an awful lot of work, and there's an awful lot of discipline in what a bodybuilder does. I've been around that stuff. I've seen that. I know what steroids, you know, do and what they're all about. I know all the negative stuff, and I know this, that I'm way too lazy to ever go on the kind of diets that some of those people go on. There's a strictness to that. You say, well, that's not much of a picture of health. Well, I don't believe it is either. There may be a lot of health benefits there, but that's not God's picture of health. All right? And, oh, there's a big difference there now. Say as to what your motive and what your reason for doing it is. Now, there are some examples. Go back to Genesis chapter 24, and I'm going to have to look at my notes to figure out what I don't want to say right now and what we'll have to save or not even give you. But go back in Genesis chapter 24, and I'll show you a picture of somebody who's working. And obviously, she's working with her hands, she's working with her loins. Now, hard work with your physique, with your body, with your loins, and with your hands will help you in a lot of ways. Hard work will create a better disposition for every Christian. Hard work will do that. You know, we have, and I guess this we is not the world, though the world's involved in it, but Christians basically are very lazy. Christians basically think because God's doing all the work when it comes to salvation, and God is on the throne, and God's going to take care of everything, and one day we're going to be raptured out and get this new body. I think a lot of Christians come to the conclusion that they don't have to take care of themselves. And let me say to you that you're made in such a way that if you just eat anything you want to eat, you will be depressed. Nobody can be on a sugar, fat diet without paying for it. Nobody. Those foods are not foods to sustain a healthy life or a healthy body. And somebody who eats those kind of foods and makes a habit of getting out of work and not exercising or doing the thing that God has put you in, be it a man or a woman, those things will create a wrong disposition. They'll create a wrong attitude in you. And so the lazier you get, and the more you eat what you want to eat instead of what you ought to eat, will create a bad disposition. And what you do is you get a cycle going in your life that while your body's falling apart on the outside and your emotions are falling apart on the inside because sugar, coffee, and fats will not take care of you, you will come to a point where you will want to kill yourself. You will come to a point where you can't handle things in life, physically or emotionally. Hard work is what God has designed for us to be in complete health. There's a lot involved in hard work that does not meet the eye. You don't necessarily pick up on it. And so the more we try to get out of work, the sicker our society becomes. The more a church becomes lazy or lethargic and apathetic about the work of the Lord, the more fat it becomes. And I don't mean that in a good sense, okay, because there's a good sense in here about being made fat in the book of Proverbs, and that has something to do with work and then that fat being produced from that, but made fat in the way that fat people are slow people. I'll race any fat person. Fat people are slow people. The more you carry that you shouldn't have to carry, the slower you will be. The less speed you would have. See, the less movement you have. And so the more you pick it up, the less activity will ever come out of your body. Now that happens in a spiritual sense. Some people stay around the Word of God and just sponge it up and sponge it up and sponge it up and sponge it up and sponge it up, and then they never get involved in doing anything with what they got. And they just become overstuffed. And I tell you, a lot of Baptist preachers look like what I'm talking about. There's a lot of Baptist preachers, and we'll just pick on Baptists tonight, they're convenient. But a lot of Baptist preachers, and this preacher's tempted to do the same, is to just get in the office, close the door, and keep his donuts and his coffee and his candy and all that available. Don't buy me Hershey chocolates with almonds or something like that. I take them, I put them in the drawer, and about every 5 minutes, you know, just one of them Hershey chocolates. And it just doesn't take too long before you start feeling it. But it's real easy to kind of close the door, go on, work up the messages, and do some studying and all that kind of stuff, and then come on in here and preach, and then go to your house and go eat and fellowship, go down to Pizza Hut and get something to eat. It's real easy to do that, but I find that my body, and I don't know how yours reacts to this, but my body finds a place where it just says enough is enough. My body says too much. You're overdoing it. My body says, wait a minute, where are you going? And I think the Lord has put some checks in there to keep you healthy. But you know, hard work not only takes care of the health and takes care of the inner health and the emotional health, but hard work will also give you a better complexion. Better complexion. It'll give your countenance a different kind of shine. You ever see people that worked outside? You ever see people spend a little bit of time working outside and getting out there in the sun and getting out there? You know, it might be landscape work or gardening work, or maybe you're a woman that stays away from planting the flowers or working in the garden or something like that. You know, that's good work. This woman's involved in gardening. This woman is involved in working with her hands. This woman is involved with things that produce a better emotional package, a better emotional package to handle the things that go on daily, but also provides her with a better countenance and a better complexion. See, we've got this indoor kind of a thing. Everything is indoors these days. Everything happens inside the walls of the mall. It happens inside the house. It happens inside, you know, some building someplace, and we get underneath artificial lighting, and then we fall apart. People fall apart. They get all kinds of diseases. I see people that are real, real white, and it looks exactly like what I see when I preach a funeral. They got this white, white, white. I don't know about all this whiteness stuff. I even think the doctors are wrong when they say stay out of the sun. I think the sun's one of the healthiest things you can get under. All right, so that's opinion. Well, you wait a little while. The doctors will turn that around. I think they're already starting to turn that around. They used to say, don't get out there in the sun. Don't do that. Wear the long clothing. Put on all this. Now I realize there's some conditions and allergic conditions that people have to cover themselves up, wear hats and all that and be real protective. People have some kind of problems with that. But I'm not talking about people with problems, pre-diagnosed problems. I'm talking about people that need to get out there and get that vitamin D and take care of themselves and exercise. And so this woman is a picture of health. Notice with me in Genesis chapter 24, Abraham is sending his servant, and I'm going to condense this for time, but Abraham is sending his servant Eliezer out to pick up a wife for his son. And so this is the way that it was done for the sake of Isaac. A daughter's going to be picked. I want you to notice something just in passing. It says in verse number 3, Abraham talking to Eliezer now, the type of the Holy Spirit, and he says, and I will make thee... I'll wait. Not everybody loves my preaching. He says, and I will make thee swear by the Lord, the God of heaven, this is Abraham to his servant, and the God of the earth, that thou shalt not take a wife unto my son of the daughters of the Canaanites, among whom I dwell. And so a command was given to Eliezer, don't pick a wife that's of a Canaanite background. That's definitely discrimination, segregation. It's scriptural. And so we'll go to verse number 5, and we'll have to go through this rather quickly. It says, and the servant said unto him, peradventure the woman will not be willing to follow me unto this land. Must I needs bring thy son again unto the land from whence thou camest? And Abraham said unto him, beware thou that thou bring not my son thither again. The Lord God of heaven, which took me from my father's house and from the land of my kindred, which spake unto me, and that sware unto me, saying, unto thy seed will I give this land. He shall send his angel before thee, and thou shalt take a wife unto my son from thence. And so Abraham sends out Eliezer. Eliezer is commanded, don't take a Canaanite woman. All right, we don't want a woman like that. That'd be a grief to my heart if you pick one of them out. But I want you to go down there, and I want you to pick out one of them from my own country, from my own kindred. And so now here, Eliezer, who's Abraham a type of? Let's get this done. Abraham is a type of God the Father. What's Eliezer a type of? Eliezer is a type of the Holy Spirit. He is sent now to bring back the bride of Christ. Okay, and Isaac would be a type of the Lord Jesus Christ, just in typology. And so here, the command is sent, and so Eliezer is going to go out and look for a wife. That's been going on for a long time. In this tradition, the father was in control of who his son married. It was completely set up by the parents. And that's the way that it worked. That would be a healthy thing, probably, to set up again. Especially for Christians. Now, that's not a new doctrine tonight. But that's the way, that's how close the son and daughter were monitored by their parents. I believe there are still some groups that might do the same. Some families that might do this. Now, verse number 8. If the woman will not be willing to follow thee, then thou shalt be clear from this my oath, only bring thou my son thither again. Then obviously it is up to the woman and her will as to whether she will go with Eliezer to be Isaac's bride. And the servant put his hand under the thigh of Abraham, his loin, all right, his master, and swear to him concerning that matter. And the servant took 10 camels of his master and departed. For all the goods of his master were in his hand, and he arose and went to Mesopotamia unto the city of Nahor. Those were Gentiles. And he made his camels to kneel down without the city by a well of water at the time of the evening, even the time that women go out to draw water. Now, isn't that interesting? Wouldn't you think, now how heavy you suppose these pails of water these women are carrying? And I wonder if they're only carrying one or if they're carrying two or more pails of water. You say, where are the men in all this? Well, they're down playing poker down at the tent. He said, O Lord God of my master Abraham, I pray thee, send me good speed this day and show kindness unto my master Abraham. Behold, I stand here by the well of water, and the daughters of the men of the city come out to draw water. The daughters of the men. Now, this is appropriate. I don't see any reason to say that the men are out of the will of God by allowing their wives or their daughters to go out and get water.
It says, and let it come to pass that the damsel to whom I shall say, let down thy pitcher, I pray thee that I may drink, and she shall drink, shall say, drink, and I will give thy camels drink also. Let the saying be she that thou hast appointed for thy servant Isaac, and thereby shall I know that thou hast showed kindness unto my master. And it came to pass, before he had done speaking, that behold, Rebekah came out, who was born to Bethuel, son of Milcah, the wife of Nahor, Abraham's brother, with her pitcher upon her shoulder. Obviously, her loins and her hands and her biceps and her triceps and her forearms and her deltoids and everything else is involved. There's a lot of work involved here. And this is more than heavy hands, this is heavy shoulders. And the damsel was very fair to look upon, a virgin, neither had any man known her. And she went down to the well and filled her pitcher and came up. And the servant ran to meet her and said, let me, I pray thee, drink a little water of thy pitcher. And she said, drink, my lord. And she hasted and let down her pitcher upon her hand and gave him drink. And when she had done giving him drink, she said, I will draw water for thy camels also until they have done drinking. And she hasted and emptied. Notice her hurry, her excitement to serve. I want you also to notice that all of these things that are going on right now was foreknown by God. Let me say to you that there is no such thing in God's heaven as a casual acquaintance. There are none. You folks, do you understand that if God knows all, that there are certain people that God puts in all of our pathways for a specific purpose and will? Rebecca was never told what she was supposed to do and why. You hear me? Isaac is completely dependent upon God for a wife. Rebecca is completely dependent upon God for a husband. And so here's an acquaintance, as we've already this evening have noticed, another acquaintance that I believe was not just by chance. Suppose that you're married to who you're married to by chance. Do you suppose that your relationship to God Almighty as His Son, acquaintances that you make from day to day, is just something that is part of life, part of a divine will for you? Casual acquaintance. Notice, again, that she hasted in verse number 20 and says, she hasted, emptied her pitcher unto the trough, and ran again unto the well to draw water and drew for all his camels. You talk about aerobics. I mean, this woman's going down there. She's going down there to the trough, you know, and she's putting her pitcher in there and throwing it on her shoulder and running, and she's running. And she's getting over here, and she's going to give Isaac something to drink. You had enough? No. Another one? She carries her pitcher back. She goes back over the trough and gets some more water out, sticks it back up there, and away she goes. And she, more. Eliezer. And he gets it up. He says, oh, by the way, what about them camels? Are those camels there? Yeah, they're there. Okay. She runs back down here. She gets back to the trough, puts more water in the pitcher, runs back. Now, camels, we've got to be thirsty. Amen? And so she runs over here. Here's the camel. There, the camel's at the trough. This trough's empty. She's got to run back over here and get that pitcher. I don't know how else you feed camels. She gets the pitcher back in there, puts it back in her shoulder, runs back over here. And she's running all over the place just to feed a bunch of camels. After taking care of the servant of Abraham. This lady's been working. I mean, her loins been working. Her knees been working. Her ankles been working. Her glutes have been working. That's a nice term for it. Her back's been working. Her shoulders have been working. I mean, she's been going to it. And now, you know, I mean, this is just, maybe she's 5'6" and weighs 105 pounds. You know, I mean, or we want to say she's 5'7", 115. Maybe she's 5'9", 280. Maybe 145. You know, that's, it was all hunch, isn't it? Just a guess. But I bet she's in shape. Now, you say, well, I was young once. I could work once.
Yeah. I'm afraid too many people want to die too soon. You know, your body is a wonderful thing, man. I realize it's temporary, but I tell you what, God made it. God did make this thing. And I couldn't explain one bit about it. I couldn't give you a bunch of medical stuff about any part of the body. I couldn't tell you how it runs, let alone, you know, run out there to a 6-cylinder car and tell you how gas makes this thing go down the road at 65 miles an hour. I couldn't figure that out. I can't figure out, breathe this air in, and here I am talking and listening, and my lungs are doing something, the heart's just, you know, the heart's going, there's some kind of electrical thing that's going on inside there to make that work and open certain valves and close certain valves, and all this blood's running all over the body and making things work. I don't understand any of that, but you got some body. And God didn't give you this body for you to just abuse it. God didn't give you this body so you can just kind of sit in the sidelines and watch everybody else get involved in things. God gave you your body to work. And this particular virtuous woman back there in Proverbs chapter 31, which is typified by Rebecca and her ability to work with her hands, work with her loins, the excitement, the hurry up, the urgency that she finds in serving this man of God, going out there and working like that would be the same thing that you and I possess. And I'm speaking not just to the women tonight. But there ought to be a sense of urgency to finding the will of God and doing it. There ought to be an urgency to getting involved in some of these things we even talk about tonight. There ought to be an urgency. Some of you are you're so lazy. You got bad habits. You don't exercise your body. You don't exercise any self-discipline when it comes to some of the foods that you eat. Man, I enjoy life. I'd eat some things I probably ought not to eat. And you know, how strict do we go with all these things? But, you know, If you work your body and work your body and work your body, and if you got, you know, if you get in these things where you're laying back and getting lazy and that, get back on a program. Get out there and start walking. Get out there and shoot some basketball. Get out there and, ladies, get out there and garden. Do something. Work the loins. Work the back. Work the shoulders. Work the hands. If you happen to sit at a typewriter all day long, you need more than just typewriting to keep your body in shape. These are practical things. Need more than that. If your job is dealing with the public, if your job is taking all the baloney that worldlings will put on you, all that pressure and everything else, you need to work your body. You need to go out and get some exercise, make the heart pump, and keep your body in some kind of physical shape, good physical shape, and tone condition so that you can handle daily routines. More people have so many excuses because they don't keep their body in shape. As soon as they try to do something, they're out of their back is out of whack. They're down at the chiropractor's office. You know how you stay out of the chiropractor's office? You just keep yourself in shape. You exercise it. Use a little common sense. Be prepared for some of those kind of things. Laziness brings weariness. Weariness. And so the more lazy you are, the more weary you become. Let us not be weary in well-doing. You know what happens? The more lazy you are, the more weary you become, and you get on a vicious cycle. Lazy, weary, lazy, weary, lazy, weary, lazy, weary, and you never seem. Or you want to call it PMS, or you want to call it menopause, or you want to call it this or that. And I'm not saying there aren't things going on. Again, that body's got all kinds of things going on. Men go through. What's men go through? Male menopause? Is that what that's called? What's that called? PMS. Certain men get to this age where, you know, all they do is just sit back, and just, you know, build up the belly, you know, and get to that point, and they just sit back and do nothing but talk. And that never get the job done. Hanging around Brother Ruckman, seeing how Brother Ruckman does some things. You know, a couple things now be done. Not only in Rebecca's life. Let me give you this. I've got a couple thoughts running through my mind, and I'm trying to sort them out and condense a couple things when I got here. But let me say to you, too, that in work, just like Rebecca, God meets you there. God will meet you there. You know, there's nothing more satisfying than working. Nothing more satisfying than that. There's nothing more satisfying than working. And so if you find yourself in the will of God, doing the will of God, there will be nothing more satisfying. God will meet you there. Do you notice? I wonder what would have happened if Rebecca didn't want to do that job that day. If she decided she was going to go on strike. if she was going to go down to the crocheting party going on down the road, or she wanted to get into the, you know, maybe she wanted to go garage sailing that day. She wanted to go down to garage sale. You know what she was doing? She was doing what she always did. And in that daily routine, you know, I won't give you all of the men in the Bible that were called by God in the matter of their daily chore. They were doing the daily thing that they needed to do, their work, provide their family's needs, provide some purpose in this life. But here's a woman in the daily routine. God met her. Man, that's incredible. Here's a young lady, young virgin lady, looking for a husband. Girls, take note, man. Find yourself doing the will of God, and God will meet you there. He knows your need, and He will supply it. Why are there so many corrupt, crooked, dirty, low-down, God-forsaken, devil-loving marriages going on these days? Out of the will of God, the bars down in the flats looking for wives. Godly church. Don't want some. There's young people that won't join a church like this because there aren't enough girls or guys to go around. They expect to go down there and let God hand them a wife. No, you find yourself in a job, and some best advice I can give some of you young men is, why don't you go win some young lady to the Lord and train her as a disciple, and just maybe God will ordain something else in that. Go to work for Him. You understand what I'm saying? Go to work for God. God knows your need. And don't start, you know, this deal of, well, I've got to go to another church to go find a mate. That's not the priority. Why don't you go and win some young lady to the Lord and show her what I'm showing you and train her and love her and be the kind of man you ought to be in the work? God will meet you there. Well, the nugget for the day. You just might get some of your answers, prayers answered by working, and then God will provide your need. All right, so we're talking about some good health habits. Now, the last thing I want to say about all this is simply, you know, there's a song, Whistle While You Work. We used to sing it something like, Whistle While You Work, Hitler Is a Jerk, da 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 da, something like that. But with one thing about this woman, she girdeth her loins with strength and strengthened her arms. We come in through the rest of these verses, we're going to again talk about her hands and what she's doing with her hands. But let me say to you, when you work, Brother White last Sunday talked about how time goes by so fast, how time flies. And preached the whole and talked about how our life just here and gone. You know, when you're working, and you're working for the Lord, and you're working your job, and you're trying to be the best employee that you can be, you know, that time will go by, and it'll be a whole lot more fruitful in your life by seeing how much you can get out of. Your life will amount to something. It's not just a matter of working, because I don't think any of us really take a whole lot of pleasure in work. We're waiting for that one glorious day. What a grand thought the millennium is. To be able to rest or to find such pleasure in working for Jesus Christ. I mean pleasure to where we can't groan and we can't complain. You know what I'm saying? But right now, let me say to you right now that at this very minute, I know that I am in the will of God and I'm very happy. I am very happy. I enjoy preaching. I don't know if I enjoy his preaching as much as Jim White enjoys preaching. I enjoy Jim White's preaching. Because you cannot mistake him for being an unhappy worker for God. But may I say that if you'll get busy for God, you may get that frown taken and you may find real enjoyment. There's nothing like going through life and finding what God wants you to do and being happy. That one time I was down there and I was working with my brother Bob Morgenstern, and I was working down there in that hole where the sewer line. We had to replace a broken sewer line. And so the backhoe had already removed the concrete from the driveway, already dug the hole, and here's this big old, you know, sewer line coming out of a duplex where a bunch of black folks live down in Cleveland. I don't remember the street there, East something or other. And we're down there in that hole, and in that apartment, those people are flushing their toilet. And we're down here in a hole bailing out everything that they're flushing so that we can repair these broken tile pieces down there. Isn't that a wonderful thought? And so we're down. I mean, you don't have to smell it or picture it or anything like that, but, you know, it was a rank job. And I'm thinking, here I am. I mean, this wasn't too long ago. This was only maybe 3 years or whatever it's been now, three and a half years, whatever. And that just happened. I'm thinking, what am I doing? God, you called me here to be a pastor, to be a preacher, and a teacher, a minister, and here I am working in this. And I got thinking, but you know, I got thinking about that. I said, man, this thing, the Lord will just do some crazy things. The Lord will do some really strange things just to find out what kind of an attitude. And you know, I can't say that that kind of a field is what I'd like to be an apprentice in. I don't think mechanical contracting, I mean, some of you men have probably found yourself in some jobs in certain places where, it was very less than glamorous. But you know, there's just something about work. There's something I think every young man and every man in here knows, and you ladies know, there's just something about work. That is what life is about. The Bible says we to be zealous. Why? I've got to work with a man who I've witnessed to for a good year or so, and you've witnessed to him. I was happy in that. You know, if I let down and looked at that job and looked down in that hole and listened to that stuff coming down through that line saying, here we go, Bob, they did it again. and we got this bucket and we're bailing it out and we're pulling it up with a rope and then we're throwing it down the curb. Hallelujah. we're going through this thing. You see, if I let down, I did everything I could. Now, that's a dirty job, but I did everything I could to let him know that I wasn't complaining. I wasn't complaining. There's something about work that ought to make you happy. Now, look, if you don't like what you're doing, the best thing I can tell you is go find something you like to do and do it and put everything you got. That goes for men. Ladies, if you're doing the dishes, you're working with your hands, the next time you work with your hands, and by the way, I don't think this lady went to the manicurist every day. It wouldn't have made any sense, would it? But that's no side line. She didn't have any of those fake nails. You know what I'm saying? So put the fake nails on there, you know, and show everybody what kind of... All that fake nail stuff tells me she don't work. Nobody that has fake nails works. Because they ruin them. Go all through all that trouble, put their fake nails on there, and then, I can't touch nothing. These are for show. These hands are for show. But when you put your hands in that water and you get complaining about your chores or changing the diapers, you know, and washing the windows and hanging up the clothes on the line and doing those dishes, next time just look down there and ask God to take your hands off. Just ask God to cut your hands off. That way you won't have to do that stuff anymore. Next time you have to run to one of the children with this incredible emergency, they're crying their guts out, they fell down a step or there's a problem there, and you, another problem, boom. You kick one around, you're ready to fall apart. Just ask God to cut you off right around the knees. So you have to sit in this chair and you have to wheel it or maybe have an attendant with you. Somebody else can take care of your kids for you. That's not the attitude. You know it. Thank God I got here. Thank God I got loins that'll get me places. And there's God put me together so I can use these things to maybe help somebody. Maybe give somebody a gospel tract. Maybe they'll just put my foot on the gas so I can get down the road, get down the house, go down and be a blessing to somebody else. Well, maybe that's what all this equipment's for. Best thing you can do with it is keep it in shape. I train with weights. Some of you play ball, basketball. Some of you ladies, go on and do aerobics in the house. Go walking, ride a bicycle, lift weights. I mean, we got the plush society. We have a society that says microwave, cook everything in 10 seconds. Dishwasher, throw them in, it does the work. Hands don't have to do a whole lot. Maybe prepare, throw them in there. Say, or you have kids. And then go down to the car wash. Just drive through the car, you know, roll your window down, smile, give you 2 bits, roll your window back up and go through there, you know, and you're done. Say, stuff like that. You want to get in shape? Take the stairs instead of the elevator. Work your loins. Work your, do something with your body before it falls apart. It will one day. I think your body make a good 3 score in 10. I think God wants you to have a healthy 3 score in 10.
not 50 with the last 20 of them incapacitated.
I don't believe that. I don't believe God wants to give you cancer tonight.
Now, He might.
I don't believe He wants to.
Body take care of. No. Strengthen it. This woman is a picture of health.
I don't think she looks like Elizabeth Taylor or Jackie Owen or Raquel Welch or any of them people. But I think she walked in here, you'd be able to identify her. I think you know who she is. She wouldn't have Glamour magazine smile all over. She wouldn't look like Christie Brinkley. Or identify what kind of woman she is. Look at her hands.
I never forget the conviction one of Albert. I buried a fellow by the name of Albert Wallace. Some of you might remember Albert. I'll never forget the first time I met his brother. His brother shook my hand at the funeral home up here on where the cemetery is up here in Twinsburg. And I met him. And he took my hand after I shook his hand. And he took my hand and he looked at my hand. He looked it over. And now, I usually have a few calluses kind of worked up. Now, I got calluses. I mean, their calluses are kind of hard there, too. They're not open or cut or anything like that. But I kept thinking about that. And I said, this guy, if you're doing something, it'll show up here. And if you're not, it'll show up. Let that be a lesson. Don't make them look like they belong in some kind of a magazine.
Father, we thank you tonight for your word. We pray that you might bless it. Encourage these people, these women, as they look at this portrait of this woman that they should be. Father, I pray that there might be some real spiritual growth in the lives of your people. The time that we've had together tonight and talking about the church and its effect, her qualities and character, that some things tonight might bend to the end, our labors will cease. We simply will resign. Bless the labors and the works of these that go on their jobs done. And Father, we pray that you might sanctify each Christian in their life. A happiness, not despondency, not apathy, but Lord, fruitful eyes. May their testimonies be fruitful. May their lives be fruitful. And Father, I'm thankful that the Holy Ghost of God might come by and help us in the work. Lord, there seems like so much, and yet here in this building, multiply. Lord, increase the membership here. Increase the take in the work of this particular church and the things that bring more laborers right here, that we might be able to send more laborers out. And Lord, help this church not to be so apathetic and watch others do what we could very easily. We call more workers. Call men and women, boys and girls tonight into working for the Lord. Use them. Lord, there will be more pleasure in their life and more happiness if they'll serve you. Pray this in Jesus' name tonight. Amen. And amen. All right. Lord bless you. You're dismissed tonight.